It's my privilege to turn the remaining portion of the meeting over to our brother, Mark Shelley.
Thank you, Todd. We appreciate you taking us from Thanksgiving into Christmas, and what a blessing it is to be here with you this morning and to tell you happy Thanksgiving on this weekend. As I think about the holiday season and I think about the way that we greet one another, particularly during this time of the year, happy Thanksgiving. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Very appropriate as we do so in this season of joy. But, you know, the reality is that there are many people who are dealing during this time of year, and not only during this time of year, but in some ways it is exacerbated when we think about it during a season of joy, but there are many people who are dealing with a broken heart. Many of those are suffering in secret. And I would say some, and maybe even many of them, are in this room this morning. You know, when my father had his heart attack back in January, it was something that nobody was aware of. No doctor knew that he had a heart problem. We didn't know he had a heart problem. He didn't know he had a heart problem. And when we come to the subject this morning, we're not talking about, of course, the physical heart being broken. We're talking about the heart, that innermost part of your being. It's really who you are. It's the way that you think. It's the way that you feel. It's the way that you reason. You know, there are many people in the world today, and again, I believe many people even in this room, who are secretly dealing with a broken heart. Many have been for years, others more recently. It may be temporary, it may be an ongoing thing, but this topic has been on my mind now for over a month, and I want us to start out in the text that you see there before you on the screen, Psalm 147, and I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 147, and I'm going to read several verses here, but we're going to focus on verse 3, and what we'd like to do this morning is to spend some time looking at the scriptural references to this spiritual, emotional, mental, relational, whatever you want to call it, sickness. And I'd like for us to discover what the Bible reveals are the causes of a broken heart, and then also what the cure is for a broken heart. Back in the early 70s, some of you remember the Gibbs brothers singing that song, "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?" And they were looking to maybe a woman to do that for them. Their heart had been broken in a relationship, but we find that looking to even a wife or a husband is not going to deal with the broken heart sometimes. Let's start in Psalm 147, and in the spirit of thanksgiving, we will read the first 8 verses. I could read further, but for sake of time, we'll stop at verse 8. Psalm 147, "Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcast of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains." Praise to our God. Verse 3, we read something about our God, something very important, particularly relating to our topic this morning, and that's the fact that the Lord heals the brokenhearted. As we think about this word broken, as we have it here in the Hebrew, and we're mainly going to be in the Old Testament, one verse in the New Testament, but the Greek word there for heart, or for broken, excuse me, is the same word, and it means exactly what we would think about. It means to be broken in pieces, to be crushed, to be shattered. That's the thought here of the ones that God heals. Those who have a heart, those who have within them, their very being has been shattered. Something has occurred, or something they have discovered that has caused them to be brokenhearted. And if you're here this morning and you have a broken heart, whether that heart is broken so obviously that maybe we could even see it on your face, or maybe whether it's been hidden and will remain hidden, the hurt that is within you, not something that is controlling your whole life, but something that is affecting your whole life. And if that's you here this morning, and you're sensing that, and you're part of the number of us who know what it is to have a broken heart, then I want you to be encouraged by the one who heals the brokenhearted. It's so interesting to me that right after verse 3, it's not that interesting that verse 4 comes next. I realize that. That's normal. But it's what verse 4 says. Verse 4 says that the very one who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds is the one who counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. It's the same one that does that. Here is an estimate of how many stars there are in the observable universe. And as I looked at several different websites, this is a low estimate probably. That's 21 zeros after that one. That number, if you're interested, is 1 billion trillion. And if you want to get a little bit of idea of how many that is, it's approximately the number of grains of sand on all of the beaches on planet Earth. That gives us a little better understanding of that number. That's how many stars there are in the observable universe. And we read in verse 4 that the Lord counts the number. He numbers every one of them and He calls every one of them by name. How great is our God? Understanding is understanding why in verse 5 the psalmist says, "Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite." But I want to start out by emphasizing that this is the one, this is the power, this is the wisdom, this is the greatness of the one who is able and willing to heal your broken heart. It's the one who can count and number the stars. Another little background before we get too far. In Isaiah chapter 61, there we read of the Messiah, the Christ, as we have it in the New Testament, the one who was promised to come through the line of David. And he was going to come and he was going to be a great ruler. And we find out that he also, and not only was promised to David, back to Abraham and even back in the Garden of Eden. And here's what Isaiah said about him and what he would say. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." Now here's what the Lord Jesus said when He came to this earth and in His hometown of Nazareth, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, took the scroll, and they turned it to the prophecy of Isaiah. And here's what the Lord Jesus read: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? He read from what we have is Isaiah 61. And then here's what the Lord Jesus said after he closed the scroll. Here is his commentary on what he just read. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, the one that is being talked about by Isaiah hundreds of years earlier, he's right here before you today. It's what the Lord Jesus was saying in that synagogue that day. He said, I'm the one that's come to heal the brokenhearted. The Lord heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. I want us this morning to consider together in the Scripture, and we're going to be in the Psalms for three of these five, and we're going to look at five causes of heartbreak and five applications of the cure. Who we're finding out, the cure is a person. It's the Lord Jesus himself. So first of all, if you will turn with me, we're going to go in order through the Scripture. That's the order we're going to take them this morning. And Psalm 34 will be the first one. These are not the only mentions of a broken heart, but these are the mentions where we find a cause for the broken heart. Other times, it's mentioned that God is the healer. It's mentioned that people have broken hearts. But we're going to look at the five very briefly, and that will leave some more room for you to do some of your own studying. So here in Psalm chapter 34, a beautiful Psalm of David. And I'll go ahead and give you a little bit of the context before we read the verse. David, and you'll find this probably in the heading, the introduction to the psalm there. It was a psalm written by David. He was being pursued by Saul. David had been anointed. He was going to be the next king of Israel. That didn't set too well with the present king of Israel, Saul. Saul was pursuing him, and so he left and went to the Philistine king, Abimelech, also called Achish. In another place, we think Abimelech may actually be the title, like Pharaoh or king or governor, and Achish being his name. But you can find it in 1 Samuel chapter 21, and that's the background of what Paul is writing here, what David is writing here in Psalm 34. So let's go down if we could, and we will pick up in verse 17. Psalm 34, 17, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He guards all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. I would suggest here that by the context that we have, a Psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed, when he was intimidated by Abimelech, he thought, I'm in big trouble now, but he acted like he was insane. And he drooled all over himself and he scratched on the door with his fingernails, and Abimelech said, who's this madman? Get him away. I don't need another madman. Get him on out of here. David was in a difficult situation. And here's the first cause I'm going to suggest of a broken heart, and it's devastating situations. Devastating situations. Situations in life that bring devastation. We read about afflictions in verse 19 of this passage. We think about difficulties. We think about losses. We think about bereavement. We think about heartache. We think about disappointments in life. We think about things that cause us to be afraid, things that cause us to be anxious. All of these would fall under this heading of devastating situations. And devastating situations in life can come suddenly, unexpectedly, or they can be something that we see on the horizon coming toward us. But whether they are sudden or whether we have been watching and fearing them for some time, when they reach our life, when they touch us, they bring devastation to us. And that was David's circumstance here. That was David's circumstance. He had been running. There was a king with an army who was pursuing him and wanted him dead. That was his goal. I'd say that's a pretty devastating situation. That's a pretty difficult circumstance. And then he found himself before another king and realized that he had made a bad decision to get there before that king. And what's this going to mean? And maybe this king is going to say, hey, I've got now the prince, as it were, of Israel, and I'll finish him off and help myself. He realized he was in a very difficult situation. And none of us probably are being pursued by a king. And none of us are in a situation maybe where we feel like we need to feign insanity in order to get out of the situation. But many of us are facing very devastating situations in our lives. Circumstances that are bearing down on us and our hearts are breaking, or they are already broken possibly because of what we're going through. What's the cure? We know it's the Lord. He is the one who heals. But here I think that we see that it's God's closeness. God's closeness. Notice there again in verse 18. What does it say about the Lord? The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, James writes to us and tells us to draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So you see, I think that as we look at these devastating circumstances in our lives, we should step back and allow those circumstances to cause us to draw near to God, because He's already there. He's already close. He's already right with you. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, then God is right there with you in the person of His Son. By the Holy Spirit, He's right there beside you, close by you. You know, those devastating situations of life can either push us away from God, if we allow them to, or they can draw us to God. Which way will it be for you? You see, God is already near. You just have to look for Him. You have to believe that He's near. You have to believe what God says. If you have a broken heart, like David had a broken heart because of devastating circumstances, then you can know that God is there near you. And what we need to do is to embrace His proximity to us and let that be medicine for our broken heart. Kim and I and my mom and Anna, we were able to go out to Memphis for Thanksgiving, and that was a first, to spend Thanksgiving with Josh and Danielle and their three children, and what a blessing that was. And yesterday morning, Josh and I, before we left, we went out and had some coffee and a little bit of breakfast, and we were able to talk a little bit, and he was sharing with me about a book called Hold On to Your Kids. He had talked with Kim a little bit about that earlier in the week. And we had a really interesting discussion. And the whole thing is about attachment and the importance of having our children attached to us. And not only when they're infants, but as they grow, even when they become newborns, that they have that attachment. And he was sharing with me from reading the book how some people who have not gotten that attachment and not matured in that attachment at an early age, the only way that they can sense that attachment is to be right there, to be close. In other words, if you have matured beyond that, you're able to go off and be in another setting, and you can still sense the closeness, say, of your parents. We have some young people in the audience, and if they can maybe go away somewhere, and yet they still behave themselves, because, you know, my mom or my dad or both, that's what they want me to do. Even though I'm not with them right now, but others, we have some young people, they're sitting right beside their parent right now. And maybe if they weren't beside their parent, they wouldn't feel the same as they do beside their parent. I don't know. But you see, the point is, with God, He is always right there. No matter how much we've matured in the attachment process spiritually, God is always right there. He's always right there. I have to believe that. I can't see Him. I can't touch Him. But I believe what God has said. You know, the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, He is the one who came near, isn't He? We're getting ready to celebrate that. We sang about it already. He came down to this earth and took on humanity that He might live among us and be near us and do that work for us at Calvary, that He might rise again. And going back to heaven, He said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not going to leave you, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to not only be with you, but to be in you. And we have His Spirit living within us. And when we go through devastating situations, we can know that God is close. And when your heart is broken by circumstances, I want to encourage you this morning to trust in the reality that whether you can feel Him or not, it's by faith that the righteous will live. We know that God is close by. In fact, He's right there. He's right there. He's with you. Well, let's look at another reason. Well, I'm going to put this up each time, just a little summary there. Let's go to the next one. We're going to find it in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, the Lord's Supper this morning. A brother read from Psalm 50. I thought he was getting ready to steal my thunder, but he didn't. He was just leading into Psalm 51. Here we have another Psalm of David. Another Psalm of David. And we find here David writing, and we find that again in the beginning of the Psalm. It's the Psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. We find this in 2 Samuel chapter 11, where David's hidden sins of adultery with Bathsheba and then the murder of her husband Uriah in order to cover up his sin, and he had been hiding that. And let's go, if we can, down to verse 14 of Psalm 51. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise, for you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar. Excuse me. The cause, destructive sins. Here's another cause of a broken heart, and it's destructive sins. Sin destroys fellowship with God. If you're here this morning and you've never truly trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what is standing between you and God is your sin. If you're here this morning as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, forgiven of your sins, you know that as you walk through this world and journey through the difficulties of this life, when you or I sin against God as a child of God, though the relationship of child to parent is not broken, yet the fellowship is broken. And David had experienced that. It had resulted in a deep sense of his guiltiness before God. He had tried to hide his sin, and he was successful for a period of time. But as we read in Numbers 32 and verse 23, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure your sin will find you out. It will eventually be evidenced. David had a broken heart. His heart was broken, and I don't know at what point his heart became broken, but I think it was when his sin was exposed. I think it's when Nathan came and said, "You're the man. You're the one, David." And his sin was brought out. And I think at that point his heart broke within him before God, and all of the guilt that he had been hiding and stuffing down became a reality, and his heart burst with guilt before God. And he would say to God, "Against you and you only have I sinned." Knowing that he had sinned against Bathsheba, knowing that he had sinned against Uriah, knowing that he had sinned against their family, knowing that he had sinned against his own family, knowing he had sinned against the whole nation, he said, "My sin was against you, God." And maybe you're here this morning, and maybe there's a hidden sin in your life that's not been exposed yet. But maybe right as we have read this scripture, the Holy Spirit of God took that and brought that deep into your heart. And you said, "That's me. That's me. Nathan the prophet hasn't come and pointed his finger at me and said, 'You're the one,' but that's me. And I recognize my guilt before God," and maybe your heart is breaking right now. Or maybe your heart has been broken for some time. What is the cure? You might find this an interesting way to put it, or a strange way to put it, but God's commendation. You see, that's the very sacrifice that God is desiring. That's what David says here. Experiencing in verse 17, he said, that's what God wants. That's the sacrifice he's looking for. Not me to bring an animal. No, he wants to start where the sin starts in my heart. And it's good that your heart is broken over sin. What is my response to God's exposure of my own heart to me? Do I deny it? Do I try to cover it up? Do I rebel against it? Do I try to justify my sin? Does my heart get hard, or do I allow my heart to break in honesty before God, in humility, recognizing that my sin is against the holy God who made me and loves me and died for me? And it's not doing some kind of sacrifice that's going to satisfy God. It's not doing anything that's going to satisfy God. But rather, it's the acknowledgement of my guilt before Him. We meditated that in the Lord's Supper this morning as well. Until I recognize what sin is to God, I'm not going to see the need of forgiveness from Him. Forgiveness that is only available through the sacrifice of the Messiah. The one who said, "I have come to heal the brokenhearted." He says, "That's me. I've come to do that. I am the Lord who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds." Is your heart broken this morning over your sin? If it is, can I ask you to rejoice? Rejoice! Because a broken heart over sin is a step toward a mended heart. We've heard of those times where a bone was broken and the doctor actually had to re-break the bone in order to set it, that it might mend properly. And until my heart is broken over my sin, it's not going to be healed. And if you've never come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He died for your sins. His body was broken for you, that you could be forgiven. He took it all on Himself. You need to have a broken heart. I've sinned against God. Receive Him as your Savior. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, but you've been dealing with a sin in your life, your heart needs to be broken. My heart needs to be broken over those sins, that God might bring healing. When your heart is broken by your sin, remember that Jesus' body was broken for you. We could say that His heart was broken too. His heart was broken because He was made sin for us. He took all of our sin upon Him. Not only the sins that we would commit before we were saved, but also the sins we would commit after we were saved. And those sins that would break our fellowship with Him, just as David experienced. Well, let's move along to another psalm, if we could. Not only is there there are devastating situations and destructive sins, but we're going to see in Psalm 69 another cause of a broken heart. And you may be experiencing this morning. We're not sure about what was going on in David's life when he penned this particular psalm. We don't know specifically what was going on, but we know that he experienced opposition at the hands of various enemies, including at one time his own son, who took the throne from him. And if you're familiar with Psalm 69, you know that it also was written, as we saw in Psalm 34, about not a bone being broken. It's what's called a messianic psalm. It speaks prophetically of the Messiah who would come, the one who would come to heal the brokenhearted. And we see a lot of that in Psalm 69. But let's read, if we could. We're going to be focusing on verse 20. Let's start with verse 19. The psalmist is praying, and he says to God, "You know my reproach, my shame, and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. Reproach has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for someone to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. They also gave me gall for my food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink." We find here another cause of a broken heart, and it's deliberate slander. It's the reproach of attackers. David experienced that in his life. People bringing shame and dishonor upon him by reproaching him falsely. And you have adversaries. And you may have some human adversaries. As believers, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but we know that we do have enemies in this life. And there may be someone in your life who is speaking evil of you. Someone who is trying to hurt you. Someone who is trying to shame you. Someone who is trying to discredit you. You may know what that's like, and because of that, you may be in the same boat David's in the boat with a broken heart. And his heart was broken at this point in his life because of what he was dealing with. But there was a cure, and there is a cure. And it's the Lord Jesus, the one who came to heal the brokenhearted. And we find there in verse 20 that David looked for comforters. And how many did he find? None. Nobody. Nobody. Now that doesn't mean there wasn't anybody who tried to comfort him, but he couldn't find the comfort that his heart longed for. His heart remained broken. But there is a comforter. There is a comforter. It's interesting in Isaiah 61, if we continued on to read the next verse about the Messiah, he says that he's also been sent to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The Lord Jesus said, "I've come to comfort you, to heal your broken heart." In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read Paul's blessing God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. God wants to comfort your heart. He wants to use His Word to comfort your heart. He wants to use His people to comfort your heart. He wants to use His Holy Spirit within you, if you're a believer, to comfort your heart. And when your heart is broken by attacks, I want to encourage you this morning to open it up to the comfort that God supplies in Christ. He wants to do that. He knows your pain. The Lord Jesus understands. He hung on that cross and He listened to them mock Him. Before that, He heard them falsely accusing Him in a kangaroo court. He knows what it is to be attacked, to be slandered deliberately. He knows that. He understands, and He is the one who brings that comfort. Oh, let's move on to Jeremiah chapter 23 as we have just a few moments left to get to our last two. Jeremiah chapter 23. And here we find not David, but a man of God, Jeremiah, and he was prophesying in the nation of Judah, a nation that was soon to be exiled to Babylon. And in the context, we find that false prophets are running rampant. People claiming to speak to God, for God, but who in actuality are seducing the people. And Jeremiah has discovered this seduction. And in discovering this seduction, his heart has been broken. Look down at verse 9. Here's what Jeremiah the prophet says. My heart within me is broken because of the prophets. Because of the prophets. They're lying to the people. And you can read on down through most of that chapter. And you can read, and we don't have time for that this morning, but you can read about how his heart was broken because of all the deception that was going on among people who were claiming to speak for God, but they were telling lies. They were misleading the people. And the people were following them. Yesterday, before we left Josh and Danielle's, I walked outside to get something out of their car, and there were two young men on bicycles with white shirts and ties, looking very neat, with a little badge on their shirt. And you know they were from the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. They were Mormons. And I had a few minutes to talk with them and to speak with them concerning truth. But you know what? They left me and they went to another house. And you know what? I think that they're deluded. I think that they've been seduced. And you know, when we look and we see those who have been seduced, and we realize that these people in all their well-meaningness are actually on their way to hell. In all of their good deeds, in all of their morality, in all of their speaking about God, they're actually on their way to a lost eternity separated from God because of their failure to believe in this one who is the true Messiah, God in the flesh, the one who died on the cross for their sins and was raised again. And our heart should break at that. And as the day there are preachers around the world who are proclaiming a gospel, but it's what Paul calls in the book of Galatians another gospel. Not the true gospel. And there are people whose hearts are being seduced, and our hearts should be broken because of that. But there is a cure, and it's God's clarification. God clarifies to Jeremiah, and we don't have time to look at it, but God declares to Jeremiah and clarifies to him, hey, my word is going to stand fast. And they can go and they can tell lies and they can mislead, but my word is going to stand fast and it's going to be fulfilled. And the challenge is also to Jeremiah, you keep preaching the truth. Don't let your heart not be broken for these people, but you trust God, the judge of all the earth, will do right, and you go out and you share what you know, and you make clear the gospel when the gospel is not being made clear by others. Whenever your heart is broken by the seduction of others, by a false gospel, or by false teaching of believers, find healing in the justice of God. God is going to have the last word. Go read 2 Peter chapter 2. If you want to find out about false teachers in our day and what God says about them and how He's going to deal with them. God is just. One more. I'm going to ask you to turn to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 21. We're going to quickly look at this last one, Acts 21 and verse 13. And Paul here is coming to the conclusion of his third missionary journey. And as he does, we are going to see him with the believers in Caesarea. And there the believers, as they have gathered with him, the believers, the disciples in Caesarea, along with those who are traveling with Paul and his missionary team, we read that a prophet comes, and his name is Agabus, and he prophesies Paul's imprisonment at Jerusalem. Everyone pleads with Paul not to go to Jerusalem. Look with me down at verse 12. Now when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "What do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." So when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Paul's actions were causing sorrow on the part of those who cared about him. And as a result of their sorrow, Paul's heart was breaking. It was a distributed sorrow. It was shared. It was spread out among all of the people gathered there that day. And the sorrow of others broke Paul's heart. And sometimes we have that same experience. Maybe God is leading us to do something and others are going to be hurt by that. Maybe it's a child who feels that God, not a 12-year-old, but a child who has grown and they believe God is leading them somewhere else, and it breaks our hearts. Maybe we're doing something that God is leading us to do and it's breaking someone else's heart. That's what happened to Paul. His heart was broken because of what they were experiencing. But you know, Paul found a cure here, and it was God's convictions. God had convicted him that he needed to do what God wanted him to do, no matter what that meant for anybody else. Even for himself, he could have taken care of that broken heart by giving in to what they said to do. But no, he was going to do what God said to do. He was convicted that he should go to Jerusalem, that he should take the gospel to Jerusalem, and that is what he was going to do. When your heart is broken by the sorrow of others, can I encourage you to stand firm in God's revealed will? Not that you're not compassionate, not that you won't listen to reason. But when God leads you to do something, you do that. Even if it breaks your heart to see others hurting, you do what God directs you to do. Because ultimately, your answer will be to Him. So as we close, we're reminded of Psalm 147:3. The Lord heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He desires to heal your broken heart this morning. And really, all of these cures can come together for any of these different causes. God is near. God commends a heart broken over sin. God is the one who will comfort. God clarifies that He is just, and He will ultimately bring together everything for right. And God's convictions must be our convictions. I'm going to close in prayer. Brother David's going to play one verse of a hymn. As he plays, could I ask you to sit quietly and just meditate on what's on the screen before you and what God is saying to your heart this morning. Father, we thank You for allowing us to be here. We thank You for caring for us. Who are we that You are mindful of us? What is the breaking of our hearts that You would even be concerned about what we are going through? You are the God who counts 100 billion, trillion plus stars and names every one of them. And yet you care about us, and you're the one who will come and touch our hearts and heal our hearts as needed. Father, I pray for every broken heart in this room this morning. Lord, I pray for every broken heart that we will come in contact with this week. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus who is the cure, the one that you sent. You anointed him to, among other things, heal the brokenhearted and to bind up their wounds. Father, we thank you that so often we have experienced his healing power in our own lives. Father, may we continue to look to him and to find in him that cure that cannot come from anywhere else. Father, convict us when we are looking elsewhere to find the cure for our broken heart. May we look to the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.